word of our Lord, Matthew chapter 2, the first 12 verses. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Then we turn to 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. The apostle speaks to the Christian church and says this of us: "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy." Here is the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Oh, Father, bless this gospel to us today. Help us to understand who we are because of your love and grace to us in Christ. Help us to worship you today and to know what it is to follow you as Christians. For your name's glory and honor and the advance of your kingdom, we pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, I wonder this year, where are the Christians this Christmas? You might say, well, they're worshiping on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, and in many cases that is certainly true. But consider the influence of a man who has been called the Tsar of Christmas, who has recently retired from 25 years of designing Christmas ornaments. Christopher Radko has written that an American Christmas is inclusive of all people, no matter what their cultural or spiritual traditions. He writes, "The traditional interpretation of Christmas points to Christ and the birth of the baby Jesus, but," he says, "I prefer a more open-hearted spiritual understanding. The manger is just a symbol. Instead, can't we see that the birth of Christ is something that happens inside all of us every day? Then, you see, we don't need to talk about sin or sinners, but goodwill towards other humans." Well, this is what the Tsar of Christmas writes. Meanwhile, Christians are very busy, often fighting hard to preserve the name Merry Christmas rather than the generic Happy Holidays. And yet, do we truly act as Christians? Do we lift up Christ's name to people like this Tsar of Christmas, who want only the symbol of the birth of Christ and not the reality of his birth, the Emmanuel, God with us. That indeed, God had to come because of my sin. Are we ashamed that we've been saved by God's grace? That we know the truth and the world around us lives in darkness? Do not be ashamed, but rejoice and pray that God would use you. Just like He sent Christ to a world that is in darkness to tell them of the light that has come into the world. What a shame it would be for someone to celebrate Christmas this year but not to be a Christian at Christmas. Today, the birth of Christ calls us to become a Christmas Christian. That's really the summary of our text. The birth of Christ calls us to become a Christmas Christian. You see, a Christmas Christian has faith in Christ. And we know in our congregation, we've been looking at what that name Christ means. The Bible says that Jesus is called the Christ because He is a prophet and a priest and a king. And when you and I have faith in Christ, then we get to share in also being a prophet, a priest, and a king. Not in all the ways that Jesus is, but in some ways. And so today we want to look at what it means to be a Christmas Christian as being a prophet, a priest, and a king ourselves. Before we look at that, we need to clear up a common misunderstanding that I've heard several times, and maybe you have. Some people wonder if there are different definitions to what it is to be a Christian. But there are not multiple definitions of what a Christian is. Think of it this way. We're not free to decide who God is or who Jesus is. We know who God is because He talks to us in the Bible. He says He is this way and not that way. And so that's who Jesus is. We're not free to figure out and recreate who we are either. We only know who we ourselves are when we listen to our Creator who's spoken to us in the Scriptures and tells us this is who you are. This is who you've been created to be. We're not free to create our own version of spirituality or religion or Christianity. The Scripture's definition of what a Christian is tied into what it means for Jesus to be Christ as the prophet, the priest, and the king. And we read a summary of that definition, a beautiful summary of that from one of the creeds of the church. It says, "Why are you called a Christian? Because by faith I'm a member of Christ, and thus I partake, I share in His anointing. Why? So that I may confess His name as a prophet, secondly, so that I may present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to Him as a priest, and thirdly, so that with a free conscience they may fight against sin and the devil in this life, and hereafter in eternity reign with Him over all creatures as a king." Well, the Christmas Christian is a prophet. By faith in Christ, we are called to confess Christ's name to the world. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, "You and I have been eternally chosen by God to belong to Jesus for this purpose, so that I will proclaim the praises of Him who called me out of darkness into His marvelous light." Why are you a Christian at all? It's so that you will tell the world about Christ and proclaim the praises of Christ who has had grace upon you. Now, it's kind of a provocative thought, isn't it, to think of yourself as a prophet? Perhaps it's helpful to realize that in the Bible, prophets did much more than predict the future. And you and I are certainly not able, very successfully at all, to predict the future. But mostly what prophets did is apply the eternal Scriptures of God to the present issues of their day and of their family and of the people around them. We proclaim the praises of Jesus' love and instructions to this world and to our own hearts and to the family around us. It was not popular, usually, to be a biblical prophet. And it is not popular today, either. Jesus told us in Mark 8, verse 38, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We are called to confess the name of Christ. If we do not, we do not belong to Christ, and He will not tell the Father when He returns, this person belongs to me. He will be ashamed of us. Not everybody thinks it's cool to be a Christian. I have a hard time finding very many people at all. Think of those wise men who traveled to see Jesus long ago. They started their journey not as Christians at all, but as astrologers. People who had a great respect, not for Jesus, but for the signs of the sky. And there's some star that means some king from some nation's come, so let's go find him. And yet they end their journey coming to the King of Kings and bowing down before Him and refusing to bow down to King Herod, who said, come back to me and tell me where he is. Instead, they obeyed the word sent to them by Jesus through the angel. Jesus conquered the hearts of these wise men and transformed them into prophets of His birth, who brought news of that birth to the Jewish leaders who were already rejecting Jesus, and it wouldn't get any better throughout His life. And yet these wise men brought the message, and God protected them by sending them this angel and said, don't go back to Herod. Take a different way home. God protected those who would be His prophets, who would tell the world about Jesus. God protects them. Is today's world any more friendly to Christianity, to Christ, and to a Christ-centered Christmas? Is it easier to be a Christian at Christmas today than it was when Jesus was first born? We would all have to say, it's certainly not easier, but we should have expected this. This is not anything new. About 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippian church and reminded them, God's plan for your life is this, that you would become blameless and harmless children of God without fault, who live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Among that generation, you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. That's Philippians 2:15. Through 16. You and I are called to hold fast to the word of life in a world that is in darkness and does not love the Lord of life. How can you and I, as a Christmas Christian, be a prophet who holds fast the word of life? How can you do that in your conversations with your children or your grandchildren about what Christmas means and who Santa is or isn't and where gifts come from? And when that person stops you at the checkout counter and says, did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? What kind of answer will you give? These are your opportunities to be prophets for Christ. And with your co-workers as you return to work in the coming days and coming weeks, what will you say about what you did and what will you choose? So many things have happened over the past couple days and in the coming week, what will you choose to tell them about your Christmas time? Will it have anything to do with the Christ of Christmas? If not, are you really living as a Christian this Christmas? We have to plan ahead, think a few moments now so that when those conversations come up, which we know will come up, but we're not quite sure exactly when, we're ready with an answer. And students, what will you say to your classmates and to your friends when you go back to school? What did you do with your time over your Christmas break? What was special and why was it special? Are you living for the moment, for the temporary pleasure? Or are you living by conviction and purpose because you belong to Jesus? We are called as Christians this Christmas to be prophets who tell the world about Christ. The second thing we are called to as Christmas Christians is we are called priests. We know Christ is a priest who offered himself. He carried the weight and the burden of our sins to the cross and offered himself as a sacrifice. Now, you and I are not priests in that sense. We don't pay for our own sins. We don't share in paying for our own sins. We don't pay for anyone else's sins. But our sacrifice is described not as a sacrifice of death, but the Bible says, now your and my sacrifice is a living sacrifice that gives thanks to God who died for us. In Romans 12, verse 1, we read, I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The Bible tells us in many places, for example, in the book of Revelation, that God has made us kings and priests. Everyone, not certain people who are in charge in a certain church, every Christian, boys and girls even, are called priests by the Bible. And in our text in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, God says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people. We are called as priests to make a living sacrifice. That means we daily die to our desires, to our wants, and instead look out for the interests of others, with our eyes always upon the greatest goal of serving Christ in thankfulness. Now, at one level, that sounds very anti-Christmas. Dying to our own desires and wants. I mean, I thought I was supposed to make a big list of all the things I want and give that to someone so they know what will make me happy come Christmas morning. Of course, it's not wrong to exchange gifts. As Christians, we can do that if we do that with the right motivation and with Christian prudence and what we spend on those gifts. And yet the message is clear. A spirit of grumbling that we didn't get what we want is hardly being a living sacrifice of thankfulness. That's not what we are to be as Christian priests. Indeed, as Christian who is a priest, it means we're called out of this world and enter the kingdom of God to live and serve Him and worship Him, to pray for His kingdom to come. In your Christmas time conversations, you will run into many opportunities with family and with friends or even with strangers to tell someone, I will pray for you. That's what a priest does. I will pray for you. Or I praise God about that event that God brought to pass in your life this past year. You read the Christmas letters that come from people. There are many opportunities for prayer and praise. Are you using those letters as, if you will, prayer lists before God as a Christian priest? Indeed, all year round we're called to have as Christians our spiritual antenna up, being tuned into God's providence in our life and in the life of others and in the world around us, looking for reasons to praise God and to encourage His people and to pray for His protection and wisdom and compassion upon those who are in struggle and in crisis. This is what it means to be a Christian at Christmas. Children, you are priests too. The fifth commandment, which says to honor your father and mother, also means that you are to be patient with your parents in their infirmities and weaknesses. They're weak. You've been waiting and waiting for Christmas to come, and now you've got your new toys and your new clothes. But guess what? Your parents still have to cook. They still have to clean. They'd love to play with you and those new things, but they might not be able to, and they're pretty tired and worn out probably. So it's good to be patient with them. You can be a priest in that way by praying for your parents and being patient when the unexpected happens, when the inconvenient breaks in. You have an opportunity to be a Christian, to be a priest, to bear the weight of that burden before the Lord in prayer, and to stop what you're doing and to talk with the person who is concerned, pray with them, to cry with them, whatever the situation is. And these things happen regularly in our lives if we're honest enough and ready for them. As Christians, we're called to be priests. The last thing we're called to be as Christmas Christians is also to be not only prophets and priests, but kings. We must fight against sin and the devil in this life, and hereafter in eternity we'll reign with Christ over all creatures. This reminds us of the verse Jesus told us when he said, "The peace that I give to you, don't let your heart be troubled, I give peace to you, but not as the world gives. I give you a different kind of a peace." You know, we can have peace and still be at war as Christians. Our peace is with God. Our war is with the sin in our heart, the compromise and temptation, and the corruption in the world around us. And yet we're called to have peace, to fight against that sin and enjoy the peace that God gives day by day. It seems so strange to the world. The world thinks this about you and I. A guy named Bill Maher says, "I think religion is a neurological disorder." Another fellow, an atheist named Sam Harris, says, "It is difficult to imagine a set of beliefs more suggestive of mental illness than those that are at the heart of many religious traditions." But far from being psychos or weirdos, you and I as Christians are sane and saved out of a world of darkness, chosen to a royal mission. We're called to worship Christ, the newborn King, and then to live out the awesome gift he's given to us as Christians, being born again by his Spirit so that we can fight against sin and bring peace to a world that loves itself and hates its neighbor. You see, a real practical, down-to-earth application of being a Christmas Christian is clear. As a Christian this Christmas, I'm a king who must follow Jesus, my king, and fight against sin. I'm not to get involved in the sinful pastimes that so often consume us, especially at this time of year. Whether it be drunkenness or gluttony, that's a sin too, by the way, or covetousness, or greed, or lust, or stealing, or taking the opportunity now that you're away from work to backbite and slander everybody at work, your family members, so you can get pity and sympathy. That's hardly being a Christian king, fighting against the sin and the temptation towards bitterness and resentment in your own heart. And indeed, as Christian kings, we are called to proactively preserve peace. That's what kings do. Preserve peace even in our family. With that family member. You know, there's always one, or maybe there's a couple in the extended family. They're always causing trouble. That cantankerous family member with those tense, unresolved problems of the past that are always there, ready to blow up again, it seems. As Christians who are called to be kings, to fight against sin, we're not to let sins fester, but to slay sin by the sword of God's Spirit, the Word of God, to seek true forgiveness and repentance. Let's be honest, many times you and I, as a Christian who truly cares about Christ and the forgiveness that he works, will be the only person all year that a wayward family member may come across, who cares enough about them, who has the guts to tell them that they need to stop living in sin and turn to Christ for forgiveness. They'll be healed and know his peace. Be a Christian king. Jesus, king who came to earth to rule us by his word. He loves us enough to die for our sins. Will you die to yourself, to your desires not to stir up trouble, and love Christ more than everyone else and serve him this Christmas? We're called to love him enough to live for his glory. What a shame it would be to go through Christmas and not know Christ. What a shame it would be to go through Christmas and be called a Christian and yet not proclaim his name as a Christian prophet, die to yourself and pray for others as a Christian priest, and fight against sin as a Christian who is a king. What a shame it would be. You see, the greatest gift that we would have this Christmas is not the things we get, of course, but to realize who you are. As a Christian, you are a member of Christ, a prophet, a priest, and a king by his grace. And our prayer for one another today would be that all of us would be the person God has called us to be as Christians. Christians at Christmas and all year long. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Oh God and Father, we thank you for revealing unto us who we are. We acknowledge that so often we can get down upon ourselves, we can get overwhelmed with all of the things this time of year. And you have reminded us of the great value and worth that you have placed in us, that you have chosen us before we were ever born, and made us your own special people, called out of this world and into your kingdom. Help us to be what you have called us to be and made us to be, to trust in you and in your Spirit and in your word, to protect and preserve us as we live as Christian prophets, priests, and kings. We pray as Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.